This is the first edition of the Week in Review for 2014. Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The new year brings a couple of changes to the Week in Review and our Ideas Network lineup. First, we are going to focus mainly, but not exclusively, on issues facing Wisconsin during our Week in Review and issues that are important to the people of Wisconsin. Because when we are done at 9 o'clock, you will hear the On Point Week in Review Hour. This is new. You will hear the weekly news roundtable from On Point coming up after 9 o'clock this morning and every Friday from now on. Because 45 North, the program that used to be Fridays from 9 until 11, has gone out of production. So we will be hearing lots of Wisconsin focus during the Week in Review from now on, and On Point's Week in Review will follow this program. We also have some new prizes for our Week in Review quiz winner starting today. Wisconsin Public Radio swag instead of books. So I know we have pens and bottle openers and other stuff. And we will we'll have a Wisconsin-themed Week in Review question that we will share with you a little bit later this hour. With that being said, let's warm things up a bit with some discussion and debate about the issues in the news this week with our two guests from different political perspectives, and welcome your comments too and the stories you would like to discuss at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest today, Owen Robinson, columnist with the West Bend Daily News. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Joy, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. John Smart is also with us, past chair of the Price County Democratic Party and a regular contributor to Fighting Bob and newspapers around Wisconsin. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Owen.
So, cold enough for you, John?
Yeah, it's about 10 below up here now, but it was colder than that earlier.
Yeah, and Owen, you know what the temp is there?
It was negative 13 when I took my kids to school this morning. It is a little bit brisk out there.
Yeah, if you think it's cold now, just wait. According to AOW-TV in Wausau, meteorologist Tony Schumacher says it is going to be three solid days of brutally cold weather starting on Sunday. The actual low temperature could get down to 30 below zero. Some spots, and with the wind chills, it's just going to be absolutely brutal. And I'm just wondering, John, do you remember winters this cold, or should we just get used to this kind of stuff?
No, actually, I do remember winters this cold, and I remember when I was a boy, which is a long time ago. But we walked to school on days like this. There was no bus service in the town of Park Falls. The buses only went out to the countryside, but in town we walked to school. And I can remember 25 and 30 below zero and walking to school, yeah.
Did you go up a hill, too?
Both ways, yeah.
So, yeah, schools are considering canceling classes on Monday, so there could be some schools in Wisconsin that do cancel on Monday. But they say maybe we're just smarter now, Owen. I mean, this kind of 50 below wind chills can freeze your face off in just a couple of minutes.
Well, I think there's some of it is we're just perhaps a bit smarter, a bit more caring for our health and safety, and some of it is maybe we are just a little bit wimpier than we were back in the day. But I guess that's for society to decide.
Well, you know, I don't want to necessarily make this into a debate on climate change, but this story that I'm looking at the weather temperature numbers is saying you might have trouble getting Wisconsinites to believe anything about global warming this week. Does this cold snap make you think about climate change at all, Owen?
I think in humorous asides, perhaps, I think, as we all know, climate is not weather and weather is not climate, and both sides of that debate like to use whatever recent weather event is occurring to make fun of the other side. So I mean, that's ongoing. I was more amused by the climate change research ship getting stuck in the ice in Antarctica than anything else.
Yeah, that happened too. So John, what does this cold snap say to you in terms of climate change?
It doesn't say anything at all. I agree with what Owen said. It's climate change is not The climate is not the weather, and the weather is a different matter. One thing about this, though, is that we seem to be getting a lot more precipitation, whether it's snow or rain or whatever, and that seems to be because the ice fields, at least in the Arctic, if not the Antarctic, are melting and providing a lot more humidity in the atmosphere. And that probably has something to do with weather on a regular basis. But as far as it being cold, and how can it be cold if we've got global warming, that's just, you need to look into that a little further.
Well, I will say that my children love the extra snow. That's been a great sledding year so far.
Yeah, it is indeed. And as far as the schools closing, I've spent a lot of time on the school board up here, and the closing decisions were always made by the bus drivers. And if you think about it, either it's too slippery or it's too cold or something, and the bus drivers are the ones who pretty much decide that, because they're the ones who are responsible for going around and picking up kids and bringing them in. And that's where the decision is made, and it's appropriate that it should be.
Well, John, I know from our previous conversations that you're not a huge Packer fan, but Owen, are you planning on going to the game and sitting in Lambeau Field on Sunday?
You know, I had the opportunity, and of course there are still tickets out there, but I look at that thermostat, and I look at, by the end of the game, supposed to be like -5 and 20 below wind chill, and frankly, in the age of the large screen flat TV where I can sit in warmth with some hot cocoa and watch the Packers win, I'm going to sit right here.
You know, I thought about that because my late father, who really, really did go to the Ice Bowl, back in 1967, when it was a gazillion below. I actually had Bill Martins look it up. It was 13 below on the Ice Bowl day in 1967, which and it also had a wind chill of 48 below zero. The car that our family car that he drove up there was kind of a junker, to tell you the truth, but it froze. It actually froze. Couldn't it wouldn't start. It was a block of ice. But he just wouldn't know what was wrong with Packer fans these days, that this playoff game hasn't sold out yet. Are we just wimpier than we used to be, Owen?
I think I think a lot of it is just the advance of technology. It's no longer having to, you know, huddle around the 13-inch black and white TV with mono sound, trying to watch the game. It's, you know, full large screen surround sounds and all these wonderful camera angles and the overheads and all that stuff. It's a much better experience to watch at home nowadays than it used to be.
Yeah, it's true. We had a black and white, like, small television in 1967. Mm-hmm. John, any thoughts on whether or not Green Bay Packer fans are as fierce as they used to be?
Oh, I think they probably are, but I think Owen's right on target as far as people becoming a little bit too accustomed to sitting home in the comfort of their home and their big, huge flat-screen TV and the surround sound and all the rest of it. Yeah, I think that's probably the case. The idea of sitting out in the middle of Lambeau Field in this weather doesn't really hold a candle to sitting in your whole warm living room, maybe with a fire going and a good hot drink of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're not going to be able to see it in the comfort of your home, though. If there are 3,000 tickets available for Sunday's game still, there was an extension granted by the NFL to the Green Bay Packers to try to sell those tickets by this afternoon. If they don't, the game won't be televised in Green Bay or in Milwaukee. And I think Wausau's going to be blacked out, and the Fox Cities would be blacked out. I think here in Madison we can still get it, even if we don't sell out those tickets. Do you think they'll sell those, Owen?
I have faith that there will be some Packer fan that steps forward and make sure those get purchased. I'd love to see, like, Ryan Braun make an amends and buy him up and go show up in his Rodgers jersey and watch the game. That would be great, but that'll happen. But even so, even the notion of blackouts is kind of a different thing nowadays with streaming online media and all the other avenues you can get game updates and satellite packages and all of that. There'll be a way to watch the game.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this, John?
Only that it seems kind of outrageous that the NFL is still clinging to that old symbol that they had and trying to black out games in certain areas. I don't think that makes any sense today.
Well, we have lots of news to cover. There have been some new laws that went into effect on January 1st, including pedal pubs in Wisconsin, the legal sale of marijuana in Colorado. We'll also talk during this edition of the Week in Review why the state Senate is not going to follow the lead of the state assembly and pass tougher drunk driving laws. Apparently, they won't increase the speed limit from 65 to 70. They won't take up stricter anti-abortion measures this month. We'll talk about all of those issues coming up, and we'll welcome your input on those. We will welcome the issues in the news this week that you want to discuss at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today with John Smart and Owen Robinson, and welcoming your input in our discussion at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Long-term unemployment benefits for more than a million people ended this past weekend. Lawmakers left Washington without voting on an extension, so recipients will lose an average of about $1,200 a month. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Senate will vote early this month on extending those benefits. House Speaker John Boehner says that's fine as long as there are cuts to offset the expenses elsewhere. John Smart, how should this play out?
Well, I think it's absolutely necessary that those benefits be restored. We've gone through this same kind of argument before, and it doesn't really make a great deal of sense. For one thing, infusing more money into the economy just builds the economy and grows it, and that is to be very much to be desired. As far as the people involved, we still have an unemployment problem, and there still is a difficulty in getting jobs. And there are a lot of people who are working at jobs that are below their standard and with less money than they're accustomed to making and so forth. So we need to do something to stave off any problems because of it. And as I said, it's funds that are put to use immediately. In other words, the people who are getting these kind of funds, it's not like they're going to stash it away someplace. They need it. They need it to buy clothes for the kids. They need it to buy food for the table. And it goes directly back into the economy, so it's recirculating the money. Mm-hmm. I think it's necessary that we do that. And I'm surprised, not really surprised, but I'm sorry that the Congress didn't see to it that before this, that they would take care of that.
Owen, what do you think?
Well, I think we all have empathy for people who've been out of work, particularly those who've been out of work for a long time. We do continue to have an unemployment problem in this country, and the economy certainly hasn't recovered to the extent that any of us would I think call great. What bothers me about this whole debate is just the perpetual crisis nature of it. And as John said, we've been through this before where the benefits were initially extended, I think ultimately up to 99 weeks during the heat of the recession. They've been scaled back. We knew this date was coming for months and months and months, and yet somehow it seems to catch everybody by surprise when it happens. Creates another crisis point in Congress, and we have to have this big debate. And it's I think that I would rather see a much more rational policy if we are going to ratchet down unemployment benefits as the economy improves. There needs to be a plan for that, a long-term plan that we all agree to when we work toward, so we're not doing these arbitrary, haphazard negotiations and throwing however many more weeks out for unemployment in exchange for how many spending cuts or whatever it is. It's just ridiculous. We need a rational policy with this, and if it's going to be metered by the performance of the economy, then let's decide on what those metrics are and put it in place and let it sit.
Anything else, John?
No, I would agree with pretty much what Owen said. I think that it's something that needs to be decided. And this Congress has been notoriously bad at making decisions of any sort. And this should have been foreseen, and it should have been taken care of a long time ago. I agree. And just as I said, this Congress seems to be stalemate incorporated.
Well, let's talk about some of the new laws that went into effect on January 1st. People in Colorado can now legally buy marijuana for recreational purposes. The sales that began on New Year's Day. Washington State is also going to allow pot sales later this year. And if I'm not mistaken, medicinal marijuana became legal in Illinois, just south of the border, on January the 1st. What do you think, Owen? Should Wisconsin follow suit with these things?
Probably not. not in the way that Colorado's gone about it, certainly. I have been, my libertarian streak comes into play here, and I do support the legalization of marijuana. But I think the way Colorado has done it has been so odd, in the way it's priced and taxed and restricted, that they've actually managed to probably enhance the black market there and just make it all sorts of problems they're going to have with people coming in from out of state. In fact, you saw a lot of the news stories of people from out of state, they're waiting in line to buy their legal pot when technically they can't because they're not Colorado residents. They can't leave the state with it. They can't smoke in public. There's all sorts of things there. And Colorado's just odd in general with recent governance in that, you know, they legalize marijuana to the point that, you know, because it's people's right to smoke it, I guess. At the same time, they restrict, how many bullets magazines can hold to the point that a company just said they're leaving Colorado because of that. So they're very, very weird what's going on in Colorado right now.
Oh, so what about medicinal marijuana? Is that something that you would approve too?
I don't know that there is any medicinal value in it. If people think there is, then I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I didn't expect that answer necessarily from Owen. But, John, what do you think about Colorado legalizing marijuana for recreational use?
Well, I think it was inevitable. It was going to start someplace. It might as well be Colorado and Washington. I just think that we're way past time when we ought to be reexamining the use of marijuana. We went through the idea of having prohibition. We did that back a long time ago, and we should have learned our lesson at that point. We should just get off it.
Yeah, I do believe. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think the other thing this draws out, and we're seeing this in a lot of different places, both with Colorado's law, with Oregon's law, with California just issuing a law license to an illegal immigrant, where we see states pretty blatantly violating federal law and the federal government really not doing anything about it. And I think it puts citizens in those states in a very bad position of, you know, technically that federal law could be enforced on them at any given time, and yet their state is telling them it's okay. So there needs to be some reconciliation there.
I know there has been a bill proposed again in the Wisconsin legislature that would legalize the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Illinois did legalize that this week. John, do you think Wisconsin should do that?
I think Wisconsin inevitably will do that. I think all the other states will as well. It's just that these things take a long time to get moving. And as I said before, you know, now it's Colorado, and then it'll be Washington, and it'll be California, and then it'll be New York. And like we usually do with these things, it will develop and grow across the country. It just takes a long time for some places to catch up, that's all.
In Wisconsin, pedal pubs, in which a number of partiers can drink on a bicycle-powered vehicle as they pedal from bar to bar, is now legal. You can drink while you're doing this, too. So you want to hop on a pedal pub, John Smart?
No. As a matter of fact, no. This just seems like the height of insanity to me. But on the other hand, I'm not necessarily calling for its abolition either if people want to try it. But they have to be very carefully taken care of as far as the law is concerned. Police have to be very much aware of what's going on.
Well, in fact, I think there was concern over a lot of municipalities had open container laws that you're not supposed to have open containers. And if you're biking on a bar, you would have an open container. Owen, what's the point of legalizing pedal pubs, do you think?
Well, and I agree with John. I like to drink beer with everyone else. I can't imagine wanting to exercise at the same time. But I see no reason to ban them. As long as they can obey the traffic laws and it's not creating a nuisance in the neighborhoods, there's, you know, if that's someone's thing, then go for it.
All right, we're going to take some calls on a number of different issues that we've already, to some extent, talked about. But Marty in Lake Geneva is with us. Hi, Marty.
Good morning. I may have heard this wrong, but one of your speakers seemed to correlate the amount of bullets in a magazine with marijuana. Even in the most abstract, I just don't get the correlation there. Apples to oranges is an understatement comparison. I mean, I think Colorado is way ahead of where the rest of the nation should be, if nothing else other than the revenue. I mean, look at alcohol. You know, how many lives does that kill? And I don't know how many lives you can, you know, put onto marijuana usage. I think the whole nation needs to wake up and, you know, smell the coffee or smell the pot.
I didn't hear that analogy, I guess. But Owen, did you say something about bullets and marijuana?
Yeah, I did. And that's where last year, Colorado passed a number of firearms restrictions, one of which was to limit the number of bullets in a magazine to 7, not 8, not 9, not 6, but 7, because somehow that's the appropriate number. At the same time, they're legalizing marijuana. So they're both freedom issues. If somebody wants to have 9 bullets in their magazine and also go smoke a joint, you know, it seems like you should go one way or the other, but they're going towards freedom on one issue and towards more restrictions on the other front. So it's just it's an odd dichotomy happening in Colorado legislation nowadays.
And you mentioned the libertarian streak in you favored the legalization of marijuana. You didn't think there needs to be laws against it, but you what was exactly the problem you had with how Colorado did it?
I think because they have it where they, and it's interesting because they, when they passed it, one of the reasons they said so was just for what Marty referenced, was they could tax it and get revenue off of it. But I think, you know, you see stories where right now it's like $500 an ounce for marijuana in the legal stores, but you can still get it for $300 on, you know, from your pot dealer down the street you've been getting it from for 10 years. So it's creating this black market, which really they're not going to get the benefit out of it. So some of the lawmakers are already talking about decreasing the taxes on it, which was part of the justification just to keep from fueling that black market. In the meantime, they're attracting all sorts of people from elsewhere in the country, which may be a good thing unless they just come there and smoke pot and don't contribute to the economy. It seems to me you go all the way or you don't. Either you just say it's a legal product and you can buy it like you can like cigarettes, perhaps behind the counter in your local convenience store, or you say not at all. But to say you have to have the specialty stores and the own restrictions and legal requirements, I think, just creates more havoc.
Do you want to add anything to this, John?
No, except that I think that, as I said before, this is a new program. Starting in Colorado and later in Washington, and as I said, it'll be in California and it'll be in New York and so forth. It always starts this way, it seems to me. You know, they're going to have all these restrictions because they're trying to come up with something in their state legislatures that's going to pass the election, pass the vote. And in order to do that, you have to try to compensate for as many different people's opinions as possible. And that's kind of what happens. And I think that's what happened with everything else, you know, that we've done. Somebody was telling me the other day that they're concerned about the introduction of the Affordable Health Care Act, and I went back and checked some of my own records to see what it was like when Social Security first came about. And by the time they got Social Security through the Congress, it was a kind of a mess, and it took about it started in 1935, and it wasn't until 1940 that they finally got it evened out to the point where it is now. And now nobody could imagine doing without it. I think it's just the way that it happens. I agree with Owen that it's ridiculously cumbersome at this point, but I have a feeling that it's just the first step and will be eventually changed and clarified.
Derek in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Derek.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your point? Go ahead. What's your point? Oh.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about unemployment. I believe that we need some form of security if we lose our jobs, but 99 weeks is way too long. I'm an immigrant, and I've never went on unemployment ever. I've been here for 27 years, and I worked every possible job just to support the family. At one point of time, I worked 78 hours for minimum wage. We slept on the floor just to make this happen. And now, I still work a lot of hours. I pay a lot of taxes. And I don't believe that people that choose not to work, because I can't believe that you cannot find a job in 99 weeks. They use my hard earned money to live, free. And
Derek, thank you very much. Because of limited time, Derek says there's got to be a job out there for someone to take. Maybe it's not the high level job that they had before, but take any job, John Smirk.
I don't know about that either. There are so many different circumstances involved, and I understand what Derek is saying very much. But there are a lot of people who have difficulty finding jobs because they are basically too qualified for other jobs. For a lot of jobs that might become available. And I know for a fact that people who are hiring, if they look at that and they see you've got a master's degree and your specialty is such and such, and all they've got is a warehouse job, they're not going to hire you because they just don't think you're going to be satisfied and you're not going to turn out to be a good worker for them. And this is a problem. But that's just one example. There are many different examples of why people are not able to find work. The unemployment situation is definitely improving. We're definitely on an upswing. We're definitely moving out of that depression that we were in, or recession, or whatever they wanted to call it. But it's going to take a while. And in the meanwhile, we have to make sure that people aren't going to starve or that their children aren't going to have winter clothes and that sort of thing.
Owen, anything more on this?
Well, I think Derek brings up an excellent point. And, you know, to John's point earlier, the unemployment payments are something that does go generally immediately back into the economy because they need it and they're paying for necessities. But at the same time, we can't lose sight of the fact that money does come from somewhere. It comes from people like Derek and us, that it comes out of our paychecks and decreases from our ability to pay for our life needs and our life wants and those things. So it's not like that's free money. It is coming from other people, and the longer we extend out those benefits, you know, and John's right. There's a million different circumstances for why people may be out of work that long, but there are also people who just they're comfortable with what they have, and they're not trying really hard, or they're not realizing that whatever employment situation they were in before was untenable, and they need to adjust their life expectations and their life plans around that, about what the employment they're capable of getting. Now, and there's also the people, like John said, they're overqualified or you know, any number of reasons, but we can't lose sight that money does come from somewhere. It comes from hardworking people like Derek.
Well, this week in Illinois, the speed limit on interstates went up from 65 to 70 miles an hour. And we also learned that the state Senate in Wisconsin is not likely to take that issue up. There was a bill that passed the state assembly to raise the speed limit in Wisconsin, but the Senate is not going to take it up. Saying that there's probably not enough support to pass this bill in the state Senate. Owen, what's up with that?
I think we're seeing this on a number of different bills in the state Senate, and that, you know, the Republican leadership there has a narrow majority. They're walking into an election, and they're gun shy about voting on anything that might be able. I mean, they're not looking at things in terms of public policy at the moment. They're looking at things in terms of how's it going to show up on my opponent's campaign ads come the fall. So I think that's the lens you have to look at that through. And when you look at things like changing the speed limit, it's really a no-brainer for most people. Other states have done it. They haven't seen any, you know, negative repercussions, but there's a cost in changing the signage, which runs into several million, and they don't want to be labeled with, oh, this Republican's increasing spending during, you know, these times of austerity, or whatever you want to, however you want to phrase that. And so I think we see that in a number of different areas right now, and I doubt we're going to get much but silliness out of the Senate in this session.
Well, what do you think about the speed limit issue, John?
I pretty much agree with what Owen just said. I don't think that there's much of an interest in getting anything accomplished, quite frankly, in this legislature, just like in this Congress. I'm afraid that everybody is kind of at a stalemate stop, and I don't think anything's going to get done.
It has nothing to do, Owen, with Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald's father being in charge of the State Patrol?
Maybe it does. I don't know.
No, I bring that up because some have speculated that maybe he does not want the speed limit to be raised. But on the merits, not necessarily the politics, Owen, should we raise the speed limit?
I think we should. I think like I said, other states have done it. Other states have gone higher, and they haven't seen, you know, the fear was always the higher traffic fatalities and stuff. But frankly, with the condition of particularly they're talking about the interstates out where it's wide open and four lane and beautiful roads, and cars have, you know, unlike your father's car that froze, they're a lot more modern now. They perform better suspensions, better tires. I mean, they're a lot safer. And I see no reason not to.
Mm-hmm. The speed limit, the merits of it, John?
Yeah, it seems like it. I wouldn't worry about it either, for that matter, except one thing we need to start taking into consideration is that higher speed means less fuel efficiency. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration, too. But if all the states around us are doing that, and especially on interstate highways, I see no reason to not move along with everybody.
Well, bills designed to toughen Wisconsin's drunk driving laws that did pass the state assembly with bipartisan support are probably going nowhere in the Senate. Again, Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald told the Associated Press this week that he would prefer to spend money on setting up special drunken driving treatment courts statewide before considering these bills. Well, what do you think of that, John?
I don't really know either. I think that we've got a relatively lax drunken driving law in Wisconsin, and I don't know that it needs to be changed, but perhaps it does, and I think maybe a good study of it would come to some conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Owen?
Well, I think we see this every election cycle. We see a bunch of people run on, you know, saying they want to strengthen these laws and bring them in line with other states and all of that, and then they get into the legislative process and nothing happens. It's happened for, decades now. So we're seeing the cycle happen again and again as the Senate walks into another election year. They're afraid of the Tavern League. They're afraid of the big brewers. They're afraid of all the people who lobby against drinking these laws. And I think Fitzgerald's thing with wanting a special court system for him is just, I don't know, that seems kind of ridiculous to me. We have a court system already. I see no reason why it's not capable of dealing with this crime just like any other.
Let's go to Dan in Wausau. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Joy. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to comment on the 70-mile-an-hour speed limit. I understand your guest comments on that, but I work for a county highway department, and we maintain the four-lane roads for the state of Wisconsin. And I'll tell you what, if you would come and spend a day out on the road with the people that we work with, you would be amazed at what you see out there, people on cell phones, all different things. And it's very dangerous. The other side of the coin, too, is the winter. Now, you take it up to 70 miles an hour, they'll be doing 75, and we have a hard enough time trying to maintain the roads. The cost of that is unbelievable. So that's my comment. I'm happy that they would leave it at 65. I think that's fast enough.
All right. So don't change it from the perspective of somebody who works for the highway department. They need that money to keep the roads clear, not put up new signs on.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a valid response, and I honestly spend some time on that interstate system, and not a lot of people go 65. Most of them are already going over 70.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have a winter roads related quiz question coming up in our Week in Review quiz, and then we'll continue talking about some other top issues in the news this week. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Week in Review, talking with Owen Robinson, columnist with the West Bend Daily News, and John Smart, past chair of the Price County Democratic Party and a regular contributor to Fighting Bob and newspapers around Wisconsin. This is the Ideas Network. This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. Time now for our Week in Review quiz. While the Northeast is digging out of a blizzard this morning, all is quiet snow-wise in Wisconsin. It's just really cold, and it's going to get colder. However, the next time the snow flies here, Milwaukee and Polk counties will be ready. What new treatment are they using on icy streets? What new road treatment for winter roads is being used in Milwaukee and Polk counties? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will give you 5 minutes or so to call in your answer, and we will randomly select a winner from all of the correct answers. And today we have something new. We are going to give the winner of our Week in Review quizzes all year long some sort of snazzy piece of Wisconsin Public Radio swag. I know we have pens available. In fact, I have one in my hand right now, and so maybe we will send the winner a pen from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with our two guests from different perspectives about the news of the week. Let's see, more things in the news about what the Senate is not going to do that the Assembly did do last year. The Senate doesn't appear poised to vote on a couple of anti-abortion bills. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says that he is not confident that there's enough GOP support to bring the bills back. He also says that Republicans feel like they are spinning their wheels by passing bills that end up getting tied up in court. John Smart, your reaction to that delay?
It's not really surprising, is it? As I said before, we're having the same problem in the legislature that we're having in the Congress. Everybody is just sort of at a dead end, and we haven't accomplished much. Just look at what we've been discussing, you know, things like raising the speed limit and things like that that are not really critical. I mean, the state's facing some critical economic problems, and a lot of things really should be done, but those things don't even seem to get talked about, and I wonder about that. Like pedal pubs and all this kind of stuff. It seems like we're kind of running in the dark, and I don't know where we're going.
Yeah. And a reaction to the anti-abortion bills aren't going to be taken up either, Owen?
No, and then for the same reason. They don't want to take up any controversial measures in an election year. I think Fitzgerald's comment about, you know, Republicans being frustrated because things run into the court system, well, that's kind of the legislature's job. They pass laws, and then they're challenged in the court. So to me, that's excuse making.
Well, what Owen, should the state legislature do for its early 2014 session?
Well, I've always been a believer of this time in the legislative cycle, after we're in the non-budgeting year, that this is the time for them to sit down and look at stupid laws that are on the books and repeal them. I would love it if they just spent the entire session doing that.
Yeah. What about you, John?
That sounds like a pretty good idea to me, too. And as I said, there are serious things that really should be taken into consideration. But Owen is probably right that in an election year, we're not going to see any of that kind of activity.
Well, we are going to at least see some discussion, are we not, when it comes to Governor Walker wanting the tax structure to be examined and look at possibly eliminating the income tax, maybe raising the sales tax, trying to lower the property tax by taking technical schools off of the property tax. Is that all going to happen this year, Owen?
It's not going to happen this year. I think they'll be debated. I'm not sure that any of that is well studied or well fleshed out enough to be ready for any legislative action. But I think we'll start seeing some committee hearings and administrative discussions. And I think those are some of the larger substantial issues that next year during our budgeting cycle, hopefully we can begin to tackle.
Right. The governor wanted this study to be done for the next budget. What do you think of this tax reform idea, John?
I don't consider that tax reform because it basically is putting the onus of fundraising on the people who can least afford it. The people who could afford it are not going to be touched very much by that, by removing that kind of that tax. And it just means that everything will go out of the sales tax, and you know everybody that needs to buy clothes and food and so forth will end up paying a lot of it. And I think that's kind of what they're appealing to, and I don't think it's very fair.
We have Dave in Wanakee, who has been waiting with a state issue. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, hi. I think that the unemployment issue dovetails into something that we should be looking at and talking about, which is that Scott Walker put a lot of those people on that unemployment line. They just cut off the money for them. He ran on a 250,000 job increase. Seems like we're going more the way of Michigan than Minnesota, more like Illinois than Iowa. When is Scott Walker going to fulfill his promise instead of looking at the presidency? He's doing a terrible job as governor.
Well, all right. Owen, you first on that one.
Well, I think that Scott Walker's pledge for 250,000 jobs was that he's going to fall short. I think any clear-eyed person looking at the economy can see that, bearing in mind that the entire country, even though Wisconsin has been lagging, Wisconsin tends to lag. It lags both in job losses and in job gains. It tends to lag the national economy. It has forever because of the nature of its economic base. And he's going to fall short on that promise, and it's something he's going to have to explain in this next election cycle. But I think if you look at business's attitude towards Wisconsin, if you look at the progression of it, you look at the financial structure of the state budget, which is better than it's been in a long time, looking at surpluses instead of deficits. I mean, those are great problems to have. At the same time, there's a long way to go, a lot of work to do, and that's just something the voters are going to have to decide whether that's what they want or if they want to change.
John.
Yeah. I have the 250,000 job business was a silly campaign promise, but it's not the first time or it won't be the last time that we've ever heard somebody make kind of a foolish campaign promise. I'm sorry that he's sticking with it. I think it would be wise at this point for him to say, okay, we're not going to make it. We're not going to get to 250,000 new jobs. On the other hand, it's interesting to look at what's happening in our neighboring state of Minnesota because they seem to be picking up a lot of jobs, and they've raised their taxes on certain areas, and it doesn't seem to be hurting the economy. Their economy, in fact, is doing a whole lot better than ours is, and I think that maybe we need to look around a little bit and see what's going on in other states. And I don't think that this governor is doing what he needs to be doing.
State employees, it was in the news this week, were awarded $14 million in bonuses and raises. Do you have any problem with that, Owen?
As long as they're merit-based, I'm a big fan of merit bonuses. And if these people earned them and they provided the extraordinary service that earned those bonuses, then good for them. I hope they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. John?
I think we'd need to know a great deal more about them, about why people were given bonuses and why certain people were given bonuses and other people were not. It's not something that is easy to comment on without having a great deal more information.
Democrats
I agree,
I'm sorry, Owen, go ahead.
I was just going to say I agree with John that you know, when you talk about a bonus structure, it's always an opportunity for abuse, but we've been doing merit bonuses in the private sector for generations. It can be done, and it can be done well, and I hope the state is doing it well.
Democrats challenging Republican governors this year are trying to make an issue of increasing the minimum wage. Polls say that it's a popular move and revives the message of economic inequality that President Obama focused on in the past year. Should the minimum wage be increased, John?
Yes, absolutely. The minimum wage is not kept up with everything else that's going on. And just there are different things to look at, like, for instance, the gap between the salaries of CEOs and heads of corporations as compared to the people at the bottom of their own employment list. It's not a fair situation. And there's been an awful lot of talk lately about what they're doing in Australia, where they've raised the minimum wage to about $14 an hour, the equivalent thereof, and their economy is booming. They were one of the few major countries in the world that didn't really go through that last recession that we're just coming out of. And I think we need to look at some other examples to see what's going on. The one thing about raising the minimum wage is that, it puts the money right up front. It means that if people get more money, they're going to go out and spend it. It doesn't mean that they're going to stash it away or buy something in the Bahamas or something like that. They're going to go out and spend it. They're going to buy clothes and food and various necessities, and they're going to work on their houses, and they're going to fix their properties. And I think it means a great deal to the economy to do that. And I think that by putting people at that low level, we were talking before about the employment question, and I said there was a problem with people who were overqualified for minimum wage jobs, and that's very much the case. If you have a master's degree and you're still paying off a college loan, you're not going to go to get a job at McDonald's. It just isn't going to work. You can't possibly do it. And that's what we need to start trying to remedy.
Owen?
You save a big question for last, but no, I don't think you should. And I think that what we're seeing is that, again, in an election year with Obamacare crashing and burning, with the economy lagging, with our foreign policy in a shambles, they turn to the old tried and true, well poll tested raising the minimum wage because it is popular. It's stupid, but it's popular. And it's something that, you know, if you like to see the, you know, go to the automated grocery stores, you know, checkout lanes at Walmart or whatever, and the unmanned gas stations and all that, a lot of those low-end jobs can replace with technology once the price point makes sense, and that's what happens. And that's why you see 20%+ unemployment in people like 15 to 20 and 15 to 24. Those are primarily the people who occupy those jobs because they're entry-level jobs, entry-level into the economy, entry-level into the business world. But when you cut those off, those are the people who hurt the most, and they find it harder to enter the economy because they can't enter at that bottom rung.
Well, we'll have to leave it there for now. It's time now to congratulate Jody. She's our Week in Review quiz winner. We asked, what new treatment are Milwaukee and Polk counties using on icy roads this year? Anybody, John or Owen, do you know?
Yeah, it's a byproduct of cheese.
That's right, it's cheese brine.
I had to actually look that up to prove it to a coworker of mine a few weeks ago because he thought I was kidding.
Well, yep, as much as 30% of rock salt tends to be lost due to traffic and bounce, but cheese brine, the salty byproduct of cheese making, does help keep salt on the roads, and I guess it saves a lot of money. All right, there we go. I hope you both have a very good weekend. Thank you both very much for being with us. Owen Robinson, columnist with the West Bend Daily News, and John Smart, past chair of the Price County Democratic Party. Have a good weekend. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay warm. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I don't know. Where did cheese go?